The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Action to make United Ireland an objective, not an aspiration. That's the call from former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who told the Irish Times that every party running in the next Dáil elections should make manifesto pledges that outline their plans for Irish unification. Well, I'm joined now for a reaction to these comments by Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson and by Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Good morning and welcome to you both. Amanda, we'll start with you. What kind of reaction do you think these comments will get, both in nationalist and in unionist circles?
I think there'll be the predictable reaction from unionists who will tell Leo Varadkar not to interfere in Northern Ireland. There will be a variety of responses across the nationalist spectrum, maybe from lukewarm welcome right the way through to sort of full-chested embracing it. Now, the context of Leo Varadkar's comments are that he's going to be speaking today in Derry at an event for the SDLP's New Ireland Commission, which I think we're going to see the outgoing leader, Colm Eastwood, lead on in the time ahead. Obviously, he's the MP for Foyle, so I don't think it's a mistake that it's happening today up in the northwest. And the idea that any former Taoiseach is listened to whenever he comments on the north. You know, Bertie Ahern is still asked for his opinion 30 years on from the peace process because it holds weight and it holds value. And I think continuing on from Leo Varadkar speaking at the Ireland's Future event that we're going to increasingly see him making these sort of comments, and as he says in the piece with the Irish Times, that he has the freedom to do that now because he's no longer in post. And I think that my old Irish Times editor Mark Hennessy is doing great work as that Ireland and Britain editor with their Common Ground series, which is exploring relationships across the two islands.
Now, it's interesting, the ideas he has that you'd have the Dáil, or whatever it might be called in a United Ireland, sitting sometimes in Stormont, sitting sometimes in Dublin. You'd have a deputy prime minister, which echoes, I suppose, the first minister and deputy first minister in Northern Ireland. And then some sort of ideas of guaranteeing that some members of cabinet, for example, would be UK passport holders. But I wonder how many unionists anyway have gone to the trouble of getting Republic of Ireland passports so they can dodge the queues when they're going on holidays.
Well, I guess they're not Republic of Ireland passports. They're Irish passports, so you can get them on both sides of the border. I think what he's doing is floating ideas for people to debate, and that's what's going to happen on the airwaves today and in the time ahead. So what he was talking about is in future the Dáil could sit in Stormont at times and have that enlarged cabinet of perhaps 20 ministers who would have a guaranteed number of British passport holders. But that's even an interesting choice of words in itself, because some people with an Irish identity in the north also have a UK passport for a variety of reasons. Sure. He did, however, add in the interview that he was doubtful about the value of a devolved Stormont continuing to exist after unification, but he said something has to potentially be in the mix and be part of the debate. So I think that because the conversations around Irish unity have accelerated after Brexit and there's no sign of them slowing pace anytime soon, that it's important for serious people to put forward serious ideas about what they think might be useful to the future. And he also pointed to something which I think can be lost sometimes. He said there are many in Fine Gael who see us as the United Ireland Party and want us to be the party that plays a role, who see the work of the party's founding fathers like Collins and Cosgrave and others to be incomplete and would like to see it completed. But we are currently dealing with that political reality across the island of Ireland. While the political landscape is changing in some ways, not all parties have a foot in both camps. Obviously Sinn Féin has a major electoral presence on both sides of the border. People Before Profit, the Greens, Irish Labour, yeah, and so on, have those different relationships. And I imagine there's going to be a lot of sort of maybe courtship going on in the time ahead, where parties on either side of the border perhaps have a feel for who they could work with in the event of unity.
And now, there is the fact that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have no real presence north of the border and Sinn Féin dominates. The idea that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil would then start with this objective in mind, organising actively north of the border, how would that go down with Sinn Féin?
Well, it's a question, Pat, that I love to ask politicians from your side of the border when they visit the north, and there's usually a very diplomatic answer given to that. But it definitely is something that is going to be discussed in the time ahead. And reference was made to the fact that Simon Harris, whenever he took office recently, talked about unity more as an inspiration, but not a priority, which I think is understandable when you consider that you're facing into a general election on your side of the border. And as Leo Varadkar said, he has the freedom to come forward and make these comments. So I think that it's always good to hear from people who feel as if there's a freedom in what they're doing, because they don't have to, as Leo Varadkar has put it, tiptoe around perhaps any sensitivities.
Yeah. Now, we're a long way from the possibility practically of unity, but there are certain structural differences. Beside trying to sort out the relationship with the monarch and so on, which would have to be teased out in some sort of forum and final agreement, but we use proportional representation to elect our TDs, whereas assembly members are still straight past the post.
No, that's not right, Pat. The first past the post is used for Westminster elections, but our MLAs are elected through proportional representation, single transferable of votes. So we have 18 constituencies in the north, and there are 5 MLAs for each constituency, which is why whenever someone decides to retire or move on, that we don't have a by-election.
You don't have a by-election. You have those nominated. Very much like the Brussels system, where you have a nominee. If an MEP decides to retire or runs for the Dáil or whatever, there's a substitute ready to step in.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and again, you know, we're all having to learn about each other and getting to know each other better. You know, there's been a lot of newspaper coverage recently about the relationships and how well people know each other and what they feel. But I think one of the comments that Leo Varadkar made in that piece for the Irish Times is that while he said unity is not inevitable, he thinks that all the trends are pointing towards that in the next few decades. So certainly the conversation and the intensity of the conversation and the debate around it is only going to increase in the time ahead, which is why sometimes, you know, unionists can be sensitive about people actually talking about it at all. But the times of people not being allowed to sort of freely express their views and float different ideas are long gone, because the political reality of what we're dealing with is that the sort of trends point towards unification, as Leo Varadkar said.
Is this likely to cause much of a stir, do you think? I mean, we'll talk about it today. We'll be talking about it tomorrow.
Yes, I think so. You know, Leo Varadkar is going to be in Derry this morning. He will be expanding on the things that he's already said today. So I'd imagine that further into the day and into tomorrow, analysis of what he's suggesting will be sort of either torn apart or welcomed or teased out on the airwaves and in newspaper columns and so on. And as I said, anytime a former Taoiseach has something to say, it's always taken seriously, you know, which is why Bertie's still doing the rounds and ask for his opinion about what's happening and what's going on. So it'll be interesting to hear what this New Ireland Commission speech that he has on board is going to be filled with. But I'd imagine it'll be further sort of further ideas being floated and perhaps maybe the whether parties from your side of the border stand in the north and vice versa may well get an air in too.
Okay, Amanda, thank you very much for joining us. That's Amanda Ferguson, Belfast-based journalist. Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University, joins us as well. Gary, good morning.
Hi, Pat.
What do you think of this intervention at a time which may be only weeks away from a general election?
Well, Pat, colour me a cynic, perhaps, but if I was in the audience today in Derry, I would say, oh, this is very interesting, and I wonder what this chap will do when he gets elected at the next Irish general election, and what might he do in power? And then I might say to myself, oh, wasn't he at the cabinet table in Ireland since February 2011, and wasn't he 5 years as Taoiseach? And then I might say, why didn't he do anything about it when he was in office? So I mean, I'm not terribly persuaded that there's anything extraordinary about this,
I think
Varadkar had his chance to do things about this in office, and he didn't.
Is this an embarrassment for Simon Harris? Because Simon Harris, when he became Taoiseach, said that, you know, unity was an aspiration, but not a priority. And what Leo is saying is that every party going into the general election should have it on their manifesto that unity is an objective, not an aspiration.
Yeah, but Leo is talking to speeches of the SDLP, where Simon Harris is at the cabinet table taking decisions. And if I was in Simon Harris's camp or one of his advisors, I would say we should just ignore Mr. Varadkar, who had his chance and stepped off the pitch, and it's now our opportunity to do something about it. I agree with Amanda in that former Taoiseach do hold great weight, but I think Mr. Varadkar runs the risk of ending up like Gareth Fitzgerald, who we famously once complained about in the Dáil, that was writing or boring articles in the Irish Times that nobody read. And perhaps Mr. Varadkar is heading down the same route, making speeches that, while we'll have 24 hours, maybe 48, I might even write a column about it myself this weekend. But beyond that, I don't think we'll have much much impact. And Bertie is different. Bertie had like the agreement behind him, and he had a long tenure at the teat of British-Irish relations. Mr. Varadkar, the same in Brexit, which I do think is a tremendous achievement of him and Simon Coveney. But now that they're both gone off the pitch, I think time moves on.
This text: stop the nonsense. You cannot push United Ireland. It has to happen organically. There are a million people in the north who do not want to be Irish, no matter what we do. It will take many generations until all the people in the north consider themselves non-British. There would want to be a large majority of people who want unification, at least 80%. There will be trouble if it's pushed through after a 51% vote. Well, we're not even at that stage yet, but a simple majority would never be sufficient. You saw what happened with Brexit, you know, a tiny surplus for the Brexit vote and the chaos it caused.
Yeah, but I think that would be the politics of drift, Pat, that we would just leave things drift along and do nothing about them. I think Mr. Radger's right that it is an aspiration and a proper one that Republican parties like Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, the Labour Party should have Irish unity at their heart. And there is an effort in persuasion. Now, unionists might be immune to such persuasion, but I think if Irish political parties here in the Republic do nothing about it, you just leave Northern Ireland drift along, becoming what it is, basically a statelet of the United Kingdom, subject to the British subvention. Whereas if you have a United Ireland, you can do things about health and education and social services and the like. So I'm not persuaded by that caller or that texter saying do nothing until there is a significant nationalist majority. I do think politicians should be persuaded, but my problem with Mr. Varadkar is that he should be in office persuading, not shouting from the
He says he has the freedom now to do that because he's not in office and he's not seeking a seat in the next election.
Yeah, but Pat, me and you have been talking about politics for a long time, you longer than me, but like we know you to get things done, you need to be in office. And I was very critical of Mr. Varadkar back in March on your programme and others for stepping off the pitch when he had a significant agenda to do. Now, I know there is a school of thought in Fine Gael that the party is in a stronger position because Mr. Varadkar is not its leader and Simon Harris is, but I don't think that's an excuse to not face the electorate. And, you know, as I said, Cormac is sceptical about this speech simply on the grounds that he had the chance to do something about it, win in office and perhaps future in office.
Yeah, doesn't whether it happens at all, if ever, depend really on the actions and attitude of the British government? For example, we're always talking about Joe Biden, you know, cut off the cash to Israel and you'll reduce the conflict in Gaza or currently in Lebanon. That's the mantra. If things get really tough in Whitehall in terms of budgetary, and they're looking at $20 billion that might be spent better in Coventry or in Birmingham than it'd be spent in Belfast, you know, in a decade or two, that might be the situation. And if the Republic continues to prosper, it might look quite rosy across the fence.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the old Paddy Mayhew point about Britain having no strategic or economic interest in Northern Ireland. And certainly, money might be best spent on the sort of the mainland, so-called. But the reality is, even in harder times back in the 1970s, Britain remained, you know, it just stuck with Northern Ireland. It didn't set it adrift. And I think that would be the last thing on any British government's Northern Ireland sort of agenda, that we can't afford it, so let's just let it go. Because that then gets in the way of more important things like identity and like public services for people who want to consider themselves or do consider themselves British. But the more fundamental point is, I do think parties in the Republic should have significant positions on a unity. I heard Piers Doherty today welcome Leo Varadkar's sort of a bow turn. A bow turn is probably too harsh, but at his newfound interest in Irish unity. And I think Irish unity is a very laudable objective and should be worked towards by political parties who believe it. But again, as I just have to repeat, I think if you have the chance to do something about this and you don't do it, I don't think your voice becomes slightly lessened.
Now, we're always talking, quoting Carol Macmillan, events, dear boy, events. And, you know, you start speculating with the Trump presidency, a rampant Putin, maybe NATO in conflict with Russia, and people being conscripted in Northern Ireland and right across the United Kingdom to fight in Poland, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the great worry about the Putin war, in the barbaric Putin war in Russia, that it would extend. And I mean, I do think if Ukraine falls, or if it's not successful, I don't think Putin will be satisfied with that. I mean, he's an old-fashioned Russian nationalist. He said this: the worst thing that happened, of course, was the breakup of the old Soviet Union. Now, that you kind of paint a worst-case scenario path there. But I do think, again, the Irish state needs to face up to realities of that we have war in Europe, and we have had significant, obviously, inflow of Ukrainians into our country. And in that context, the defence is becoming a far more important issue. And this is one that is not going to go away.
All right, Gary, thank you very much for joining us. That's Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.